in this corner, weighing in with his take on current events, the smarty of the party, the mighty Mike from the right, the heavyweight of debate, the man who's in cahoots with the grassroots, the broadcaster master, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Saturday night is always all right for the Jimmy Sangenberger Show right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. And it is indeed such a pleasure and a privilege to be with you once again for the Saturday, October 3rd edition of the program. Thanks so much for joining us. If you want to join into the festivities 24/7, 365, you can tweet at me. At Sang Center, that's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. You can also email me via the 710KNUS website if you go to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show page at 710KNUS.com. And, of course, my website, you go to the contact page at JimmySangenberger.com. You could shoot me a message. Remember, there's no A, there's no I, there's no U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. And of course, my Facebook page is facebook.com/JimmySangenbergerPro, or you can just search Jimmy Sangenberger Media Personality on Facebook. So great to be with you for the October 3rd show. And I have to say that, boy, this week has been absolutely crazy. I was expecting this weekend to spend some time just doing debate talk and where we go from here with debates and the states of the race and how you have two candidates up against each other, not just for president, but also for United States Senate. And things were changed on their head, of course, for what we're going to be doing tonight. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Nan Hayworth, former congresswoman for the great state of New York. She's going to join me to talk about the president's diagnosis with COVID-19, what's going on there, and the politics surrounding this, how it could impact the campaign. I'll get to some thoughts on this diagnosis here in a few minutes as well. In the next hour, last night there was an absolutely riveting debate that unfortunately not nearly enough people watched. And that was the debate, the very first debate, mano a mano, between Cory Gardner running for re-election in the United States Senate and John Hickenlooper running to unseat him. The Pueblo Chieftain held the debate, and my gosh, did Cory Gardner slice and dice John Hickenlooper? Absolutely. In fact, it's a technical term. He sliced and diced him. It was tremendous. In the next hour, what we're going to do is play some snippets, including a large segment that just was an example of, what is it we used to say, pure ownage by Cory Gardner of John Hickenlooper on the ethics investigation. How he did that segment was phenomenal. We're going to play that entire segment. We've got a few other clips we will play, and we will get analysis from a man who ran multiple successful U.S. Senate campaigns in Colorado and elsewhere, Dick Wadhams, former Colorado Republican Party chairman. The conversation you will not want to miss, especially if you didn't catch last night's debate. That was just such a stark contrast. I want to spend an hour on Gardner versus Hickenlooper because that is a seminal race in Colorado that, believe it or not, is winnable. It's a tough one, but it is winnable, and last night demonstrated that. There are two more debates to come that will be televised on Channel 7 and Channel 9. We'll see how those turn out, but if they're anything like what we saw last night, that's going to be fantastic. I mean, Cory Gardner truly did an exceptional job last night. One of the things that he kept doing was asking Hickenlooper a question, and then Hick wouldn't answer the question. He dodged it, or he literally just like sat there in silence, refusing to answer a question with an obvious answer, a factual answer. We'll get to that in the next hour plus. Earlier this week on my web show in partnership with the Washington Examiner, Jimmy at the Crossroads, I had a conversation with Dinesh D'Souza, that I think is not just worth sharing an excerpt, but sharing the entirety of the interview. We're going to do that later on in the show. You do not want to miss that. His fascinating insights relative to his new movie, his new film, Trump Card. Go to watchtrumpcard.com for details and to get to access the film yourself. But we really dove into socialism, particularly his ideas of identity socialism and more. It's a conversation I have to share. Plus, I wanted to preview this on Tuesday's upcoming this week, Jimmy at the Crossroads web show, youtube.com/Jimmy at the Crossroads. I will play in full. We will have the episode broadcast that centers on an interview with the official spokesperson for the Saudi embassy in Washington, D.C., Fahad Nasir. It'll be my third time talking with him. And the excerpt I want to share with you, a preview specifically for this program, focuses particularly on Saudi Arabia's official reaction to the UAE and Bahrain Abraham Accords peace deal with Israel, largely brokered by President Trump and the Trump administration. Very interesting discussion on that in particular, and I want to share it with you tonight. That'll be in the third hour of the program. By the way, I also want to let you know, now you should be hearing about it everywhere here on 710 KNUS. But folks, the event we've all come to appreciate as a source of conservative thought, ideas, and inspiration now goes virtual. And it's free to register. This virtual version of the Western Conservative Summit will feature the premiere of America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. Plus, there will be live workshops, and it'll feature the annual William Armstrong Award and the Turning Point USA Under 30 National Speech winner. More details about this special virtual version of the Western Conservative Summit are available at 710knus.com. Log on, check it out. It's always a great time to be able to celebrate freedom and liberty with the Western Conservative Summit. This year it has to be virtual. Be sure to log on. It's free now. 710knus.com, happening a week from today. You do not want to miss it. All right, I want to dive into the topic of President Trump and his diagnosis and give some thoughts on that and some of the political issues around it. But first, I want to take advantage of this opportunity to share with you a millennial German blues guitarist named Henrik Freischleider, who's just really fun. And he has a tune called Point of View I want to share with you as our bonus bumper for this segment here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Best bumper music known to man, more than 7 years running.
Satisfaction. It's high time to think things through. Cause some people keep collecting. I know one of them was me. But I found out that to live means that you're here to give. Come on now, let it set you free. You got your house, you got your cars, you got your money. But it makes you part of you, a part of no return. Don't you mistake the things you earned for what was given to you. Your life is still able to learn.
Once again, Henrik Freischleider, born in 1982, German blues rock guitarist. What a fun tune, Point of View. As we continue here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. So, of course, the nation was rocked by shocking news late Thursday night. The President of the United States diagnosed with COVID-19, as well as the First Lady. We learned that Hope Hicks, one of the senior advisors to the president, had fallen ill to COVID-19. Now we know that Kellyanne Conway has it. Senators Mike Lee, Tom Tillis, Ron Johnson all have COVID-19. It appears as well to be that this may have resulted from a week ago today when there was an event in the Rose Garden and Judge Amy Coney Barrett was officially nominated to be Supreme Court Justice to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So it seems like this may have been a so-called super spreader event, because the president of Notre Dame University, who was there in the Rose Garden, also has COVID-19. So we'll see what happens. But if you expand out this list, or you compare this list to those who were at that event, they line up. People who were at that event have it. That would have been a week ago today. President Trump, of course, introduced to Walter Reed Hospital yesterday. And earlier this morning, this is what his physician, the White House physician, Dr. Sean Conley, said, describing the rationale.
I recommended we bring the president up to Walter Reed as a precautionary measure to provide state-of-the-art monitoring and any care that he may need. Just 72 hours into the diagnosis now, the first week of COVID, and in particular days 7 to 10 are the most critical in determining the likely course of this illness. At this time, the team and I are extremely happy with the progress the president has made. Thursday, he had a mild cough and some nasal congestion and fatigue, all of which are now resolving and improving.
So the treatment seems to be working. He's had a few different treatments given to him, an antibody cocktail and remdesivir. We'll talk about those with Dr. Nan Hayworth, former New York Congresswoman, here in just a few moments on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. But the president of the United States has this virus. He's being treated at a hospital for it. Of course, Walter Reed is fully equipped. The left, Nancy Pelosi, they're trying to suggest that, oh my gosh, maybe the 25th Amendment should be invoked and the president should be removed from office right now. He's totally cogent and coherent by all accounts. He's working. There's a suite of offices in Walter Reed Hospital from which the president is able to conduct all of his business. There's ample reason for the president to stay the course, maintain his duties. It seems like he's doing all right. And one thing that it does seem like, there are some who are speculating, they were wondering, why in the world is President Trump getting an experimental treatment in this antibody cocktail? Why is President Trump getting remdesivir, which is a treatment that you might get later on in the progression of the virus? Suggesting that maybe he's further along and there are more complications and more issues than we're being told. It doesn't seem like that. In fact, what it seems like is that they don't want to take any chances with the president of the United States. They want to maximize those treatments earlier. He's the president of the United States. It makes sense. Now, for the politics of all of this, that's where things get a little more concerning. Because the optics of the president of the United States, several United States senators, the First Lady of the United States, and a few senior advisors like Hope Hicks and Kellyanne Conway getting this virus, to a lot of Americans, they can look at this and say, wait a second, what's going on here? Why are they getting this? Why wasn't the president protected? Why weren't these senators protected? The list goes on. And I think the optics are challenged a little bit more because of some of the things the president has said vis-a-vis masks and so forth. So I just want to caution everybody that there could be two different directions that this goes for the 2020 election cycle. Because let's face it, everything right now is political. So President Trump, on the one hand, could recover quickly. He could be able to talk with empathy and experience now on COVID-19 and what it means and the significance and so forth. And that could help him. The Democrats could also say he poo-pooed masks. He talked down the coronavirus. He did this, that, and the other thing, and now he's got it himself. How can we trust that he's capable of handling the virus? Well, first of all, getting the virus himself doesn't mean that the president isn't capable of managing this crisis. He's been, I think, doing a fine job in terms of coronavirus overall. Certainly not perfect, but a fine job nonetheless. Not only that, but the president has been saying we need to reopen and we need to do more of these things and get Americans back out there safely, but it needs to happen. The president has actually been modeling that behavior. He's not somebody who's saying, you know, we should reopen, but I'm not really going to get out there and do it. He's actually doing it himself, not just talking from behind a desk and saying, hey, I think we should do this, and not doing it himself. And I don't think that's insignificant. Now, I do have concerns about the political implications here more than the health implications. It seems like President Trump is doing fine from a health standpoint. And perhaps he comes out of this and it will reassure Americans that, yes, in fact, the vast, vast, vast majority of people who get COVID-19 survive. We're what? Less than 210,000 Americans, fewer than 210,000 Americans have died relative to nearly 7.5 million reported cases of coronavirus. And probably a heck of a lot more people have had the cases, but it didn't get serious, which is why they're not necessarily counted in some of those numbers. That shows that the vast majority of people survive COVID-19, and President Trump can help reassure Americans of that fact. And that's a good thing. But we don't know. This year has been so uncertain. This year is so all over the place in terms of the things that have happened. I mean, how many people would have predicted that we'd have a Supreme Court nomination in the Rose Garden, a presidential debate, and the President of the United States being diagnosed with COVID-19 and going into Walter Reed Hospital all within a week? Who could have predicted that? Every aspect of this year is insane, so anybody who pretends to know exactly what's going to happen or how this will help or hurt Trump or Biden doesn't really know what they're talking about. Or they're just not really certain. They're making their best guesses, which is fine. But nobody knows for certain how this will play out. It could go in any different direction. For now, we all need to unite in prayer and support as a nation, President Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, and the others, and our fellow Americans who are dealing with COVID-19 or who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. We all need to come together and unite. And I do have to give Joe Biden a little bit of credit, just a little bit of credit, for saying that he's suspending his negative ads and for saying we need to come together. This is not a partisan moment. Well, you can certainly and probably rightly say it's good politics for him, but it is the classier move. I'll give him credit for that. We'll see how long that lasts. Big question, will President Trump and Joe Biden debate once again in now less than a couple of weeks? They're supposed to in 2 Thursdays. We know next Wednesday, as of now, the debate is still set to go on between Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris. We'll see how that goes. Then we'll see the following week if President Trump does indeed go and debate Joe Biden. I expect it will happen, but I don't know. Biden could easily use this as an opportunity to say, nope, we're not going to debate again. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. We'll get more into COVID-19 and the treatments and so forth, as well as the politics of all of this with Nan Heyworth in the next segment here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Before we run to a break, just a couple of final things I want to note. One is we have these Melania tapes. Remember earlier Thursday night before President Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis was revealed by the president on Twitter. Everybody, especially in the liberal media, was just so hung up on these tapes of Melania Trump talking with a former so-called friend, lousy excuse for a friend, in which Melania expressed frustrations about a whole slew of things, dropped some F-bombs, talked about how she likes basically teasing the liberal media, tantalizing them with things like a shirt she's wearing or something. Just you listen to the tapes, and it was a complete backfire. CNN was like, oh, man, this is dramatic. There's a war on Christmas here because she's saying F Christmas. But actually, if you listen to the tapes, she seems like a regular person, very relatable in a way we hadn't seen before, I think. She showed some passion. She showed some relatability. She showed some realness to her. And I was like, why are they highlighting this? Because it actually makes people connect with her more. I want to see more of that. Please keep the tapes coming. I'm not worried about them. I embrace them, except insofar as it is disgusting for a so-called friend to record conversations with another person who they're supposed to be friends with, especially the First Lady of the United States, and then to leak them out in public. And by the way, these were private conversations. Why can't she express her own frustrations? Why can't she express her concerns, her issues with passion and with occasional bad language? That's not abnormal at all. It's ridiculous. By the way, one other encouraging little development is that Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who fancies herself really a queen or an empress, the Supreme Court of the state of Michigan just ruled yesterday that Governor Whitmer exceeded her powers during the pandemic. She went too far. They said she's got to pare it back. She says she's got 21 more days under this order, and then she's going to use other criteria than this Emergencies Act that the Supreme Court ruled, the state Supreme Court ruled she surpassed, that she abused. She's going to use other reasons to continue some of her policies, but I don't know what that's going to look like. Either way, it's good to see a governor being held to account in their Supreme Court of her state saying, wait a second, you've gone too far. I hope that happens here in Colorado with King Jared Polis. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. We'll be back with Nan Hayworth on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Girl, I really thought you loved me, but you was just going through a phase. And then you spent all my money, left me in a fiery blaze. Now you come back looking for what's left of your kill.
Coming back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Yes, please, in these troubled times, put your weight on me and our very program. Best bumper music known to man, by the way, more than 7 years running here on 710 KNUS. And this tune, of course, is a cover of The Weight by Aretha Franklin with Duane Allman himself on guitar. So great to be with you once again, and so great, always a pleasure and a privilege to bring back on to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, good friend, former congresswoman for the 19th Congressional District of my original home state of New York, and medical doctor herself, Dr. Nan Hayworth, rejoins us on the show. Nan, welcome back.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'm delighted to be with you.
So great to have you. Under these circumstances, though, I don't know. I mean, we got the President of the United States now in Walter Reed Hospital, diagnosed with COVID-19. His doctor did a press conference earlier today, and he seems to be doing pretty well. What do we know, and what's your take?
Well, the information I trust the most, Jimmy, is what the President's doctor, Dr. Sean Conley, is willing to share with the nation. And I am attributing integrity and honesty to him and to the Walter Reed team. So what we hear is reassuring. And the president, we saw the video, of course, of the president striding out of the White House to Marine One on Friday, yesterday, and striding out into the hospital. Fundamentally, he is an exceedingly strong and robust man. Remdesivir is an antiviral. It prevents replication of the coronavirus. The antibody cocktail that the president has been receiving, which has been engineered by Regeneron, is actually a really tremendous new therapeutic, which is meant to replicate essentially the best of the body's own immune response. We make antibodies in response to the presence of pathogens in our body, whether they're viruses or bacteria, and those antibodies help the cells that our bodies use to eliminate viruses and cells that are diseased by viruses. And so those antibodies help our immune cells to latch onto these cells as infected cells and destroy them and destroy the viruses. So it's a wonderful new tool. These are not, certainly in the case of the antibody cocktail, this isn't something that we would expect to be used ordinarily in someone who could be managed on an outpatient basis. And I think the president probably could be managed on an outpatient basis. But as folks have been saying, look, he is the president of the United States. It's particularly sensitive. And the president is not someone who places himself above the rest of us in no way. But let the folks who have to manage his health care be extra aggressive, if you will, because, the life of a nation, the lives of a nation depend on this man's health in a very particular way. So I think they're being more than prudent, cautious, and careful. And I think that's all fine.
Yeah, some have asked the question, okay, why is the president on remdesivir, which is, as I understand it, a treatment that is often given later in the course?
Yes,
as opposed to earlier on. I mean, we've heard talk of, you and I have talked before, Nan Hayworth, about hydroxychloroquine being a treatment you might give earlier on in the course of COVID-19. Yes. But he's on remdesivir now. Some speculation saying, is he really worse than what they're saying? It seems to me that you would just want to use every tool at your disposal to get the president of the United States back on his feet quickly.
Right. And I think, it's probably fair to say that his physicians' consensus is that these two treatments will be more effective for him than hydroxychloroquine would at this point. We do know that the president took hydroxychloroquine for a couple of weeks in the summertime. It's not exactly sure why. I suspect perhaps it was a post-exposure prophylaxis, but the president said he was taking it, and it obviously tolerated it fine. So I agree with you, Jimmy. And the other thing you look at is what we call the risk-benefit ratio. So the risk-benefit ratio for both remdesivir and the antibody cocktail clearly is benign. So it's not something that they feel hesitant about using the president. Remdesivir can have side effects. So those do have to be monitored for. I would say that the antibody cocktail is probably the more benign, if you will. Not that either is a, you know, it's a dangerous therapy, but I would say the antibody cocktail is the one about which I really have essentially no worries, because of the nature of these things. I'm very confident that the president's fundamental health is robust. Now, we do know, he just demographically, he's 74 years old, he's a man, and he is mildly obese, and those are all factors that put him in a higher risk category than, say, you know, right, a healthy 30-year-old.
Right.
Nonetheless, we know that the CDC's figures, which are for coronavirus from the beginning of the pandemic, Americans age 70 plus have a 94.6% chance of surviving this illness. And the other thing to note is that this virus, as all viruses do, does mutate. So, you know, this virus is probably, it seems to be more contagious than its antecedents. And indeed, we're learning that, you know, a lot of folks who seem to have gotten together in recent days in the president's presence are testing positive for this virus. But that does not mean that they're going to be, and generally you can pretty much count on, they're not going to be terribly ill. The current strain of the virus, right, seems to be less likely to cause severe illness or death. That said, you know, statistics over a population are one thing, but every individual needs to be cared, right, for as an individual and monitored carefully.
Absolutely. Dan Hayworth, what do you also make about the, what else do you make of this situation with the United States senators? We've got three Republican senators now, Mike Lee, Tom Tillis, and Ron Johnson, all testing positive, yeah, for COVID-19. And one thing they have in common is that they were at the nomination ceremony, right, of Amy Coney Barrett 1 week ago.
Right, right, exactly. I don't see this as having any implications for Judge Barrett's confirmation.
Agreed.
There is no reason at all that they can't hold these hearings virtually. And I don't think they're even scheduled to start until October 12th, which is 10 days from now. We'll know a lot more about their health and recovery. All of these men seem to be also in good health. I think Mike Lee is the youngest of them. Again, the odds are very much in their favor, and thank God, very much in the president's favor, first and foremost. I think, you know, his courage in facing this with the kind of good cheer and energy that he does. He felt like rolling out in his pajamas yesterday. I rather doubt it given his nature. But you know what? He strode out there in his suit because, damn it, he's the president of the United States, and he is going to, show us that, he's on the job.
Yeah, make no mistake. The way in which he presented himself going to that helicopter and then getting off the helicopter was exactly what the American people needed in order to be reassured, yes, that the president was in the condition that we need him, exactly, to be. That's for sure.
Exactly. And, you know, he even made a video, Jimmy, bless his heart.
Yes.
And, you know, he said, look, I think I'm doing well. The president really is, he is. And I've had the privilege of meeting him a couple of times. And I was with my 95-year-old father, who was a great, great fan of the president's. And we had the opportunity to meet the president at a reception last summer, just 2 months before Dad died, actually. And Dad was wheelchair bound at that time. And the president had a whole load of folks around who would have been more than happy to help Dad, who was a World War II veteran, and had all his faculties, but he was, you know, physically disabled. And he had all kinds of people around who were eager to help Dad get out of his chair. The president himself got Dad out of his wheelchair and supported him on his arm and talked with Dad for as long as he wanted to talk, and then gently settled him back into his wheelchair. This is a man who is so deeply human. He really cares about this country. He, yeah, loves this country. And I could hear, but there was a slight plaintive note in his voice, because he is real. He's like, I think I'm okay. You know, so like, you know, everybody, right? You think I'm okay?
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lack of confidence. It's just that, you know, he is one of those people. He's just, you know, he shows you his heart.
Yeah.
And this is one of those times when we all need reassurance. The other thing is, you know, Jimmy, he's been working so very, very hard on making sure that the interventions, the kinds of interventions that he's getting, he talks about it all the time. And he's right. Therapeutics. You know, he has been moving mountains with his administration, streamlining processes, eliminating bureaucratic barriers.
Great point.
To get these things done. And so he is far from the only American who benefits from the therapies that he is now receiving. And the other thing, yep, is, you know, of course, he's volunteering himself for the nation, really. I mean, these are still investigational agents. So, you know, I have nothing but love and admiration for him, obviously. But, you know, I think he deserves it.
Again, we're talking with former Congresswoman for New York, Nan Heyworth, MD. I want to talk a little bit about the politics of all of this because, gosh, I know you are an avid tweeter on Twitter. I've been increasing my Twitter dosage as much as I can handle, especially in this environment.
Doing great. But,
well, I appreciate that. But one thing that is always so stunning to me is when you see the vitriol instantaneously just go out there. And on Thursday night, late at night, when this news broke, you got that right away. Nobody waited.
Yeah.
And through this entire time, we're constantly seeing. What do you make of that coming from the left?
You know, I can't say I'm surprised, unfortunately, Jimmy. And there have been great notes. You know, Vice President Biden and Mrs. Biden issued a very nice, you know, kind statement of concern and best wishes. Al Green from Texas, with whom I served in Congress and personally was a very friendly and kind-hearted gentleman on the other side of the aisle, and has been among the president's most prominent critics in the House of Representatives. And he extended his unalloyed best wishes. But unfortunately, there have also been a lot of really ugly comments. And, you know, even the Speaker of the House, from whom I frankly would have expected better, took this occasion to lecture and, you know, the sort of schadenfreude, I told you so kind of thing. Well, this just shows you should be wearing your mask all the time. You know, unless you need your hair done and you can expose, you know, expendable workers in a beauty salon to your exhalations.
There are exceptions when you're Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
You must know this. You served with her.
Yeah. You know, it's just right. There has been mask hypocrisy, as we know. So, you know, now is not the time to scold. You know, are there lessons to be learned? Potentially, but, you know, I personally, the only lesson that I see is that, you know what, yes, you know, this is a virus that could be highly contagious, and we knew that, and, you know, we know what we know about the limitations of mask wearing and, you know, of human contact and everything else. And I certainly expect the president and the first lady and
sure,
all others affected to survive and go on with life in very short order.
So President Trump will be in quarantine for a number of days leading up to the next presidential debate. And some are wondering,
yes,
if that debate is even going to happen. Your thoughts on that time frame of the next couple of weeks,
sure,
as far as the campaign trail, Nan Heyworth?
Yeah. Well, I know there have been, talk/plans of virtual appearances, which I think will be great, you know, because everybody knows, you know, why he'd have to do it that way. And I think, you know, signs of robustness will be very welcome. That said, one of the ways we treat viruses is to tell folks to get rest. You know, that's a tall order for the president. But his 75% is everybody else's 150, basically. So, you know, he's the only president I've ever seen who looks younger after 3 years in the job. So if anybody has vigor to think of, harken back to John F. Kennedy, you know, I think it's President Trump. I think politically it'd be great to see him. In terms of the next debate, it's the town hall format on October 15th. That'll be, you know, right at the point at which we hope, you know, the president will be given the all clear to participate. So I don't think it should be, you know, delayed, deferred, rescheduled, whatever, or canceled. You know, that said, obviously, you know, sometimes people have a tougher time than you might anticipate. So, you know, could things change? Yeah. But I think it'll be, he'll be able to.
Do you think that there could be an opening there for Joe Biden to say, I don't want to do this additional debate. I don't think we should. I think it's too risky. What happened before demonstrates this. And so let's not do the town hall style gathering. Let's not even do any more debates, Donald.
Yeah. No, you know, I think the so-called worst case scenario, so to speak, would be that there was an insistence that it be done remotely, which I don't think would displease the Biden camp in the least. Let's put it that way.
No, then he could look off camera at the teleprompter and see the answers to his question. I wish I was entirely joking there, but
I know.
You have to suspect that there could be some level of seriousness there, which is pretty sad.
I do think so.
But let me ask you, in our remaining minutes here, again, we're talking with former Congresswoman Nan Haworth of New York. When we talk about this election cycle, so many different things have been changing and evolving. And one of those areas of great interest, especially to me being here in Colorado, where we've had our system of vote by mail for now about 6 or 7 years, and largely it's been successful, but so many states are trying to replicate it. There are lawsuits going on from different conservative organizations challenging the practices in some of these states because there is a real concern about the integrity of the election process, particularly in those states that are rushing forward here. And I'm wondering what you think about that complication amidst the COVID complications now.
Well, I agree with you, Jimmy. This year could not be more, remarkable set of tangly, gnarly circumstances. And this, look, Jimmy, you've got to think that most of this, maybe all of this push for universally mailed or unsolicited ballots, and certainly of ballot harvesting, has to do with the facilitation of manipulation. I'm sorry, there's no other way to put it. And there really is not a good argument for not having most folks vote in person or via, you know, requested ballots. You know, that has much more likelihood of success. But even that, you know, if you put it in the U.S. mail, you know, there have been enough instances of, witnessing things having been, not made their way to their destination that you do have to worry and wonder. So, you know, most of us would be safest, with voter ID in person. And that should be safe for most Americans. Should they make accommodations in terms of the hours at polling places? Because, you know, people are going to be, you know, they probably would want to be more distant. So that slows down the lines. Yeah, I get that. That if we could make accommodations for that. But I think we should really look askance at any rush to not just look askance, but fight. And the Republicans are. They have legal teams working on it, rightly so, because this is a ballot integrity issue.
And final question for you. Where do you see the next month going overall? I mean, or is it it's so unpredictable now, as our 2020 lesson has shown, that really anything can happen. I mean, and especially with all these issues of vote by mail and the president's diagnosis and the list goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Jimmy, I think passions are high on both sides. I think the president's supporters are going to be especially energized by the challenge to his health that we hope and pray he will overcome. Mm. Certainly I'll be out, God willing, voting in person on election day.
And talking about that enthusiasm point, I think it's so striking. The voter registration numbers that we're seeing in various pivotal states around the country for the GOP with that ground game where people were saying, oh, the ground game doesn't really matter. You're registering a heck of a lot of Republicans in these states.
Absolutely.
Former New York Congresswoman Nan Hayworth, purveyor of one of the most insightful Twitter feeds you'll find, at Nan Hayworth. It's true. It's true. Thank you so much for joining us once again here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show.
Jimmy, thank you for your voice and for your time. I look forward to joining you again. Thank you.
Once again, former Congresswoman for the great state of New York, Nan Hayworth, rejoining us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Medical doctor, and it's always great to get her insights on things like President Trump's antibody cocktail and what that could mean for his treatment. We'll see how that unfolds in the next several days with his treatments and being at Walter Reed. I think it's the right move for the president to be moved there. And of course, all of our thoughts, prayers, and well wishes go to the President of the United States and to the First Lady and to the others who are in our government who now, unfortunately, have been infected by this COVID-19 virus. Most people recover from this. We can take heart in that. But it is pretty stunning on one level when you think about the President of the United States, no matter who he is, getting this virus. It is contagious. Anybody can get it. And now undergoing treatment at Walter Reed. Set up with a full office, by the way. But nevertheless, that's happening with this president of the United States. And it is certainly historic. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, we're going to shift gears to the debate Friday night between John Hickenlooper and incumbent Cory Gardner. Will talk about it with Dick Wadham, share some audio from that very first debate held by the Pueblo Chieftain. You do not want to miss this next hour. And Dinesh D'Souza up later on in the third hour. Fascinating interview. Stay with us.